Well, can I take you on a trip with me today? I would like to offer that we could go to visit some friends that we've met before in the Gospels. Luke 24 contains the records of some of the earliest moments of discovery on the Sunday after Jesus' crucifixion. And on that Sunday morning, they discovered that his grave was empty, and they were full of wondering about what all of this could mean. And you may recall about Luke that Luke was a careful investigator, and in his gospel he was laying out as carefully and as factually as possible the things that were known about Jesus. He wanted us to know the certainty of the things that we have been taught. We can find reference to that in Luke chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. And today, as we remember and as we celebrate the resurrection, I would like to help us all remember the true story of two individuals who personally met the risen Savior on that day. You know, let's talk about the value of walking together. Can you imagine the information overload and the emotional upheaval that must have been going on in the minds and the hearts of the disciples of Jesus Christ on the weekend of Jesus' crucifixion? On Sunday before, Jesus is greeted like a king entering Jerusalem. That sounded pretty good. But then on the Thursday evening, Jesus is arrested. And by Friday afternoon, he's hanging on a Roman cross for public display. And after his death, he was removed from the cross with permission and hastily buried before sundown on the Friday. And then it was Sabbath, a time for worship and rest from labor. You know about the ladies. We've already heard of them this morning, who went to the tomb early Sunday morning. They wanted to do a little bit more care for the body of Jesus. We have no idea how they expected to roll that big stone away. God knew that they would not need to roll the stone away. He had looked after that detail. And the discovery of the empty grave seemed impossible. And like one more blow, possibly, at least temporarily, for those who had placed their hope in Jesus. What could this mean? The ladies reported to the disciples that who were gathered that the grave was empty, and Peter and John went to look for themselves. And John describes this in John chapter 20. John also tells us that Mary Magdalene actually met Jesus and reported that to the disciples. So now we're going to look at Luke 24, verse 13. And there are two individuals not directly named who had been at Jerusalem. They knew about most of these events, and now with some kind of puzzlement and disbelief, they're walking back to the place where they were staying in a village called Emmaus. And we know that one of them was named Cleopas. We have no name for the other person. They were not from the 11 remaining disciples. We know that because verse 33 tells us they went to talk to the 11. And maybe you've had important important matters to process in your life. And you went walking with your spouse or with a friend to talk about and try to make sense of things that had taken place or were happening around you. We all need some quiet moments. Sometimes we need to make sure that we're, you know, away from the phone, away from all those other things, because we need to process. Trying to make sense of the things that are happening. And there's something very meaningful about walking with a friend. Someone with whom you feel safe and whom you can talk to about all the things in your heart. And I know that I've had those experiences in my life. So Cleopas and companion were heading back to their accommodations for the night. And we're not told any great details of was Emmaus their home? Was Emmaus a place they were staying because they'd been at Jerusalem for Passover? We're not told those details. Maybe they were planning to go home in a couple of days. But on that afternoon, that Sunday afternoon, they were walking back to Emmaus from Jerusalem. In verse 13 to 16, we read this. Now that same day, Two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. Now, it was not that surprising. The roads would have been busy. Other people came along. Does that ever happen to you if you walk in places like Winkler, at least, or in Morton, and you walk along the sidewalk, and someone else happens to be walking just a little faster than you are, and you catch up with each other, and you pass on the way. Maybe you greet them. In this case, a traveler on the road was there as well and joined them as they traveled. And these friends were walking along. They're talking about what they knew about all these things. They meet this other individual. God did not allow them to recognize the identity of their companion, at least not yet. And the journey continued, and a new fellow traveler started the next part of the conversation with a question. Verse 17. Jesus was specific, and he asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" And the men were so surprised that they stopped right there on the road. They stopped. And they said, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" You know, one of the men, they wondered aloud how Jesus could not know about this. But you and I know, because we know the rest of the story. Jesus was helping set up the opportunity for an important conversation. He wanted to hear from them what was happening. In fact, if you study through the Gospels, I haven't counted how many, but Jesus used a lot of questions to help us process what the answers would be. So this suggests that although they thought everyone in Jerusalem must have known what had happened to Jesus on the cross that day, and I'm sure that many of them did. You've heard the saying, news travels fast, and it usually seems that bad news travels even faster. Well, these men, Jesus wanted these men to talk about what they knew, and so he asked, "What things?" And they said, "Haven't you heard about these things?" What things? Open door to talk. And we find out what the friends knew about Jesus, verses 19 to 24. So Cleopas became the spokesman and started to explain. They were talking about Jesus of Nazareth. And they knew he was a prophet who was powerful in word and deed before God and with the people. They knew that the chief priests and our rulers, I kind of caught some of the possessive there, the chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death. This was a community experience going on here. They knew that Jesus had been crucified. They had hoped that Jesus was going to be the one to redeem Israel. And that hope would have been learned from the Old Testament prophets, as we have known from other times in the Word. And now it was 3 days later. Luke says it was 3 days later. Why was that 3 days important? Luke does not directly tell us, but Luke seems to assume that his readers will understand. And maybe they had remembered Jesus' early statement, "Destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days." There had been reports that the grave was empty and Jesus was alive, but some of those who had gone to the tomb had not seen Jesus. So how would you describe these two travelers who were unloading all their burden and their information and their knowledge to Jesus on that day? Would you say they were discouraged and troubled? Probably. Would you say they were in shock? It sure seems that way. But they were looking for the piece of information that would help them to make sense of what they had seen and heard in the past week. And they still were not able to recognize who Jesus was, but he was about to teach them what no one else could. Jesus told them what they needed to know, verses 25 to 32. In 25 and 26, Jesus spoke boldly to these men and challenged them. Let me read for that for you. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. So suddenly, these two men discover that their walking companion had knowledge of what the Messiah or Savior would have to experience. And beginning with Moses, it says, all the prophets, Jesus explained to them what was said in the scriptures. Jesus didn't say who he was yet, but he was teaching and they were listening. Warren Wiersbe tried to imagine what that would have been like to be with Jesus on the road that day and getting this overview about the Old Testament prophecies. And he wrote this. He said, "That was some Bible conference, and I wish I could have been there. I imagine the greatest teacher explaining the greatest themes from the greatest book and bringing the greatest blessings to men's lives. Eyes open to see him, hearts open to receive the word, and lips open to tell others what Jesus said to them." I know for me, when I was in Bible college, there would be Bible conferences. I don't remember, was it spring and fall, but Bible conferences with respected guest teachers of that day would be featured, and I can remember I hurried to the chapel to make sure that I would get a seat in the balcony towards the front so I could look right down and see the speaker right there. And I would be close enough to see the speakers well and hear what they taught. And the teachings that stuck out to me from those years would include teaching about God's special creation, about prophecy, including the book of Daniel, and also the teaching about the life and the nature of the church. As we think of our friends on the Emmaus Road, it's amazing to me that they were listening to all this teaching and they still didn't recognize who Jesus was. God had not given them that, removed that blindfold yet. But they were hearing what he had to say, and he was explaining to them. And the knowledge Jesus was giving them was preparing them, both of them, for the time they would recognize and be energized with a new sense of hope and courage as followers of Jesus. Jesus had told them what they needed to know. Remember the time and the place? It was afternoon when they were heading out of Jerusalem to head back to Emmaus. And it must have been getting towards evening. They approached Emmaus, and the teacher or guest was invited to join them for a simple meal and to stay overnight, as good Eastern hospitality would do. There would be no streetlights and no budget hotel down the road. And they urged him to stay with them. He said, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went to stay with them. Verse 29. And when it was time for breaking some bread at the table, just to eat something together, amazingly, Jesus took the lead as if he were the host. No wrong things happening here, just the natural development of what was taking place. He'd already been teaching and leading them as they walked. And he took the lead at the table, and I guess he truly was the host that day. He took the bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to them, and maybe they had seen him at the feeding of the 5,000, and suddenly this guest was looking and sounding a lot like someone they knew, their master, Jesus. It was in that moment that their eyes were open and they understood who had been teaching them and who had been sitting at their table. It was an amazing moment, and even more amazing because at the same time they recognized him, what happened? He disappeared from their sight. Doesn't say he got up and excused himself and left. He just was gone. What would you do if you had been with them or had been them on that day? First, they talked about what had just happened. They recognized that God had used this time to confirm in their hearts an understanding, a truer picture of who Messiah was and why Jesus had to suffer and die. So they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? God was powerfully at work in their hearts, giving them understanding they didn't have before. Their hearts and minds knew that something special was happening here. And what would you do if you had that kind of good news? Well, they did what might otherwise they might not have done, I think, but it might have seemed unusual to head back in the dark to Jerusalem. But they did. It seemed urgent. They needed to do it. They left their place. They hurried back the 7 miles to Jerusalem. And do you want to have a fuller appreciation for that? Walk 7 miles today. Get the clock out, and you can check and see how long it takes. And put a hustle on it while you're doing it. They were in a hurry. They wanted to get back to Jerusalem to tell these folks what they had seen and heard. The news was too good and too urgent to delay. And all the way back, I'm sure they were eagerly talking about what Jesus had said to them and about what it would mean that Jesus was risen and alive again. And these people obviously knew where to find the 11. And you remember who the 11 are, right? Jesus selected 12 disciples. One of them had included Judas. They had been known as the 12. Judas betrayed Jesus and was disqualified from service, and so the 11 remained. And so Luke refers them here to them here as the 11. And these disciples confirmed what God was doing to the 11 and to others who were there with them. Verse 33, we find it reported here. They got up, returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, it is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Now that would have been amazing all by itself. But in the midst of these moments of reporting, one more guest showed up. Who was it? It was the Lord himself. Verses 36 to 40. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. And he said to them, why are you troubled and why do doubts arise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. And he showed them his hands and his feet. And then he also gave them an opportunity to observe that he was not only able to be seen and visible flesh, he could eat. And he demonstrated that he was alive and he could eat. And then he got to some teaching again, verses 44 to 49 or 48. It says, he said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses to these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Jesus not only confirmed his death, how his death was fulfilling the words God had given to the Old Testament prophets, but God had a plan going forward. Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. Repentance for forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, and that is the message of the gospel, and it would begin at Jerusalem. They were witnesses that God was going to fulfill the plan and that God was going to provide power for them to be his witnesses to all nations. And that power would be through the Holy Spirit being sent to live in every believer and to empower them to be his witnesses. I suspect that, at least for those who are adults, I'm not really telling you anything you did not know before. Those of you who are younger, I hope you're soaking up the story, because these are really important things. Witnesses are really, really important. How do we know something is true? Because we have witnesses. There are witnesses to the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. And this is a story, kind of like a much-loved family story that we can tell together. And I hope that you like to hear it again. Let me draw a few closing observations from this visit to Emmaus and Jerusalem. Let's note that God provided multiple witnesses to the resurrection of his Son, who is our Savior. Secondly, the Old Testament is an integral part of God's message for all people. When Jesus explained to them, verse 27, he was referring to the Old Testament. That's what was recorded and complete at that time. The Old Testament is an integral part of God's message for all people. Among other things, it points to God's larger plan for forgiveness and salvation for all who believe. We also note that the New Testament is the record of the confirmation and fulfillment of what God had planned to do. So the New Testament, which was given to us in the first, within 100 years of Jesus' life, by God's inspiration and direction, is the record of the confirmation of what God had planned to do, and he wanted to have continue to go forward to our day. When God's word is explained and empowered by God's Spirit, it communicates to our hearts and minds. And I love that statement, verse 45. Then he opened up their minds so they could understand the scriptures. We open up our minds to many other things, and we need to be selective. We need to be focused. We need to make sure that we are feeding our minds with the right content. We need to be eager to know God's mind instead of being filled with other things. Just in casual conversation this last week, one person I spoke with spoke about setting aside their social media for a time so they could focus on things that are really important. Another person told me that they have chosen to not watch any television this past winter. And they learned new skills, and they took the time physically and mentally to be active in other ways. We need to have open minds and hearts to study and learn and to be anchored in God's Word, the Bible, and to do it in the same way. Cindy and I are actually involved in two care groups at this point in time. We have one group that we have been part of for as long as we've served at Bethel, and we love them all. And it hasn't been we haven't found the opportunity for meeting together as a group yet, but we are so grateful for the opportunity we have to love and care for each other. And I try to be faithful in some phone calls and connecting at the door to say hello. But we're also part of a new care group. We're currently doing a group by Zoom. And it's working for us. We enjoy each other's company. We've been amazed at the ways that we can connect and begin to learn and study and pray together, even via the internet. We look forward to meeting in person, but in the meantime, we are making the most of what we can. It's important that we're focusing and putting our hearts and having our minds focused in the right places. Cindy and I are also part of another group, which I've mentioned, and the phone is an important tool. If God puts it on your heart to call someone, please do it. Take time to say hello. Just let them know that they are loved and remembered. Jesus' death was not the end of the story. It was the fulfillment of what the prophets had been inspired to declare. The resurrection of Jesus is also fulfillment, and it has profound truth to confirm our hope in this life and after this present life as those who know Christ. We are witnesses of the living hope because the living Savior. And when we know the good news, we always look for ways to share it. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these moments together. We could not be there in person when Jesus rose from the dead, but we are so grateful that there were people there who were, and that people like Luke took careful and diligent time to record what they had seen and heard. And it's been passed on to us to know and to be encouraged by. And I pray that we could be witnesses for you in this day that you have placed us in, and the opportunities that we have, and that we could be eager witnesses for you, and to speak of your grace and your truth and your hope in unusual times. We ask for your hand upon us, and thank you for these moments together. In Jesus' name, amen.